This is Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Answers UK Radio. My name's Paul Taylor. I'm the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. And you're listening to the programme that brings you news and reviews and comment from the world of creation and discusses the issues of creation and evolution and Genesis. We've got a very special programme today because I've got the great privilege of interviewing the founder of Answers in Genesis, Mr. Ken Ham. Now, Ken has written a new book recently called Already Gone, Why Your Kids Will Quit Church and What You Can Do to Stop It. The theme of this book has been on Ken's heart for quite a long time. It's to do with why it is that young people are leaving the church, why there is such a disconnection between the views that young people have and the views that are put across in church, why it is that they're not connecting with what the Bible actually says. And in the writing of this book, he's teamed up with Britt Beamer, the chairman of America's Research Group, a market research group in America. Now, Britt happens to be a Christian, and he's an expert in studying human behavior, and they've done a good deal of analysis on the subject of why it is that young people are leaving churches, and it's these things that I wanted to ask Ken about. Before we listen to the interview, let me tell you how you can get hold of this book. The book is available from the Answers in Genesis offices, and that is telephone number 0116 270 8400. You can also buy it online, www.answersingenesis.org. Make sure you change the country at the top from United States to United Kingdom, and then go into the web store and you'll be able to buy the book there. Now, the normal price is £8. It's on a special introductory offer price of £7 at the moment, but if you buy as a result of listening to this podcast, then you can have another 50 pence off. You can get the book at £6.50. Just mention when you phone up that you've heard about it on the podcast, episode 10 of Answers UK Radio. Or if you're going to buy online, then when you get to the final checkout, you'll find there is a comment box. So make sure you make a note in that comment box about having heard about this in the Answers UK Radio podcast episode 10, and we'll knock 50 pence off. Remember, this offer will only last until August the 31st, 2009. Well, I wanted to ask Ken a number of things about this book so that you could really understand what the relevance is of this work to the United Kingdom as well as to the United States, because I believe it's very relevant to the churches here. And so I started really by putting it to Ken that this is probably one of the most disturbing books in many ways that he's ever written.
Actually, in many ways, Paul, I'd say that is true, and it's also, I think, the most important book that I've been a part of. And by the way, Paul, just read out the subtitle that's on the cover there.
Yes, it's called Already Gone, Why Your Kids Will Quit Church and What You Can Do to Stop It. And it's a very, very important book because so many of us see churches with young people in, or rather spaces where the young people used to be. Quite often we go from church to church and we sort of grow up with those churches, and in many cases we wonder where the young people are that used to be there, and then we see another generation of young people growing up and we start to worry, thinking they're going to be gone in a few years' time, and actually that often turns out to be the case. So can you tell me, Ken, what this book has got a lot of research in it. There's a gentleman called Britt Beamer who's done some research for you as the basis for this book. What was the reason for the research? Why did you commission this particular piece of research?
Well, Paul, this particular research was obviously done in the United States, though I would say from my own experience of 20-odd years travelling to the United Kingdom and reading lots of news items about what's happening and surveys in the United Kingdom. Really, I would say it's much worse in the United Kingdom than really it is here in America, and it's bad enough here in America. But our ministry is an apologetics ministry. We're teaching people how to defend the faith. And although you might go to churches, as will be true in the UK, here and there you might see a vibrant church here or there. If you stand back and look at the big picture, both in the UK and also here in America and right across Europe, in fact, we see the structure of the Christian fabric collapsing. So, you know, there might be some individual churches here or there that are vibrant, may have a lot of young people and so on, but from a big picture perspective, we're seeing that young people are not going to church. We're seeing churches dying. As you know, in the United Kingdom, yes. I actually took a number of photographs that are in the book of churches that have been turned into all sorts of different things. You know, whether it's a Sikh temple or a liquor store or a nightclub or a tattoo and piercing studio or whatever it is. And we see that sort of thing happening. We know church attendance is not what it used to be in the United Kingdom, far less than what it was before the last war. In America, we're finding the same trends. And we as a ministry want to find out what is happening. George Barna, who does a lot of research in the church in America, in 2000 found that two-thirds of young people will leave the church in America. In 2006, he confirmed that two-thirds are going to leave the church. And we wanted to find out why is that, because we have an apologetics ministry, a ministry to the church, to teach people to defend the Christian faith, answer the skeptical questions of this age. So to be effective, we wanted to make sure we understood what was going on. So that's why we did the research.
And it's an important problem. And if it's a problem that you have over in America, then as you said, it's a problem that we have here, multiplied by several times. I mean, maybe it would be useful then to talk about the way that you chose the people who were going to be interviewed for this particular sample. What was the basis for choosing this sample, Ken?
Well, it's interesting. We used a market researcher over here in America, Brick Beamer from America's Research Group. He's highly respected in the secular as well as Christian world. Brick Beamer actually is one you often see on television in America, on Fox News or CNN. He does research in regard to shopping trends and other trends in regard to business, but he's done a lot of Christian surveys as well. As I said, highly respected. And he's a behavioralist. And it's interesting, the way that he does surveys, by and large, he lets people talk to him and doesn't get them just to choose a few items. Now, we had a couple out of the hundreds of questions, basically, that were asked where we gave them some items to choose from simply because we're trying to clarify some issues. But basically, we let the people actually speak to him. And what he did was this. He chose a statistically valid sample, which is 1,000 people, but we said they must be people who went to a conservative church as young people, as children, but no longer go to church. So we skewed it to the conservative end, so actually the results, generally speaking, in the culture, in the church, would be much, much worse. So these are the best the results could be. He actually had to make 23,000 phone calls to identify these 20-somethings. These are people aged 20 to 29 who used to go to church as kids, no longer go to church. They went to a conservative church, and so they're the group that he identified and then proceeded to come up with the questions to get them to tell us, why did you leave the church?
I think this is an important point to dwell on here, isn't it? Because we're referring to conservative churches. We're not talking about conservative politically. We're talking about conservative theologically. We're talking about those churches that are more likely to preach the gospel correctly. And the sample that you chose were mainly were skewed towards this type of church, so that therefore in society as a whole in America, any effects would be likely to be even greater than that. And also, I think if we take that across this side of the Atlantic too, I think it's undeniable the number of conservative churches around, the number of Bible preaching churches around is far less in the United Kingdom, and those churches are smaller. So again, the effects that you'd have, the statistics you had that are very concerning, would be worse if measured in the United Kingdom, not better. Wouldn't be the same, they would be worse. And so therefore I think we can look through this book, we can see the statistics, we can analyze what's there, and we've got to learn all the lessons from it and just sort of multiply them a bit further. Now, I mean, the title is very apt. You're talking about already gone, and I've sort of got a picture in my mind, really, of teenagers in church. We know that a lot of these teenagers will have left the church then, which is what the disturbing factor is that you're analysing in this research. But you're really saying that even though they're sat there Sunday after Sunday, really, in their hearts, they're already gone.
That's correct, Paul. Yeah. In fact, what we found out, you know, there were some very revealing aspects of this survey and some what I call absolutely shocking aspects in regard to this survey. But one of the revealing aspects was this. Many people think, oh, it's at university where we lose our kids and we need to prepare them for university and college because that's where, you know, the Christian things they've been taught at church are going to come under attack.
Quite often that's the age that they physically disappear. But you're saying that the damage is somewhere else.
Well, what we found was that basically by the end of primary school, we've already lost 40% of them. And by the end of high school, we've lost another 45%. It was only just over 10% that were lost in university and college. And when we asked them, okay, why, it basically came down to belief concerning the scriptures. They had questions, they had doubts, beginning at a very early age, and doubts about the Bible. And as we look at the research from a big picture perspective, it really came down to this. They have not been taught that they can really trust the Bible as a historical document. Basically, they're taught in church about spiritual things, moral things, doctrinal things, relationships, experiential things, you know, singing and so on. But they don't really know that they can trust the Bible as a real history document. And they haven't been taught how to answer the skeptical questions of this age. In fact, one of the things we say in the book is we're not teaching apologetics in our churches. And I'm not just talking about creation apologetics. I'm talking about general apologetics as well as creation apologetics. For instance, you know, if you ask the average person, even adults in our churches, can you answer questions like, where did the Bible come from? Why these 66 books? How do you know the Bible's the Word of God? How do you know there's a God anyway? What does it mean that the Bible is inspired? I mean, most people can't even answer those questions, let alone the attacks we have on the Bible today, such as Noah's flood was not true, there never was a global flood, he couldn't fit all the animals in the ark, that's just a myth, where did Cain get his wife, what about the races, the Earth's age of billions of years disproves Genesis. And you know, that's an interesting thing because when we actually asked them some specific questions and gave them some choices, the Earth's age was definitely a factor that really affected them. Interestingly, not so much evolution, which didn't surprise me at all, because, you know, for a lot of people, it's not so much evolution. A lot of them don't even though they might say they believe evolution or whatever, they don't really believe they came from ape-like ancestors. But the age of the Earth was a big issue.
Yes, I remember my daughter being told by her physics teacher, and she was in a state school, and she was quite clearly told by her physics teacher, you know, you can believe the Bible if you want to, but as soon as you learn the scientific facts that we're going to be talking about here, then you'll soon realize that the Bible's not true.
Well, I think that's the other thing we have to realize. You know, here in America, those kids from the church, 90% of them, of kids from the church, generally speaking, actually go to the state schools.
Yes.
90% of them. And I'm sure that's probably even a higher percentage in England, because we do have a big homeschool and Christian school movement here in the United States, which you have a small Christian school homeschool movement in the United Kingdom. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly what happens in every school in the United Kingdom, but I know here in America, God, prayer, the Bible is not even allowed in the classroom, and we have whole generations of students that are taught a naturalistic philosophy. It's an atheistic philosophy, and they're taught all these supposed facts of science that supposedly disprove the Bible's account of origins, and then they go to church, and they're sitting in church hearing the doctrinal things, the spiritual things, the moral things, the relationships, standing up and singing and experiential aspects, but they're not hearing that you can really trust the Bible as a document of history and that you can answer the skeptical questions of this age. And so by the time they get to the end of primary school, 40% of them, they might even be sitting in church, but in their minds and hearts, they're already gone. And then by the end of high school, another 45% are gone. By the time you get to college, another 10% are gone. They're leaving the church in droves.
I think it's just so important for us to underline that statistic, isn't it? 40% we're talking about are really already gone by the end of a primary school age. And and then further 45% in high school. So we've been assuming for so long that we've got trouble ahead when they're going off to university or going off to some form of higher education. And that may be true, but the trouble's there with what they're experiencing before and what's not being counteracted. But, I mean, many people would say, well, it's okay because they're going along to church and they're learning a lot about the Bible, of course, in Sunday schools. Well, what did your research find out about that?
Well, you know, Paul, over here in America, Sunday school is a big thing for many churches. And of course, it might not be called Sunday school in every church. It could be some children's program or children's church or something like that. But we have a whole chapter devoted to this. And it doesn't matter what country you're in, the same sort of statistics will apply. This is one of the shocking aspects. What we found out was this, that children are much worse off if they go to Sunday school. Now, people will find that absolutely shocking, and they'll say, how could that be? What do you mean? We're not advocating getting rid of Sunday schools or children's program or children's church, but we're advocating some radical surgery. We divided this group of 20-somethings who used to go to church as kids but no longer go to church into a number of subgroups, and one of the subgroups was those that attend Sunday school regularly as kids and those that did not attend Sunday school regularly as kids. And here's what we found out. Those that attended Sunday school regularly as kids were more likely to be anti-church, much more likely to defend abortion, more likely to defend gay marriage, more likely to defend premarital sex, more likely to believe in evolution and millions of years, more likely to reject a lot of the Bible in regard to its true history. I mean, we went right down the line, and people might say, wait a minute, why is that? How could that be? Well, there's also another statistic there. They were more likely to have heard a pastor or a Sunday school or children's teacher tell them they can believe in millions of years or believe in evolution.
This is Answers UK Radio. We'll be back after the break with more conversation with Ken Ham, the founder of Answers in Genesis. Like to speak about creation, you're not quite sure what to say or how to say it, well, we'd like to share some tips with you. And we'll do that at the Prepared to Answer conference, Saturday, September the 26th, 2009, from 9 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock in the evening. This conference is organised by Answers in Genesis UK and will be at the Arnsby Christian Centre, Arnsby, South Leicestershire. You can find out about the conference by calling us on 0116 270 8400. The cost will be £25 per person. And we'll feature evangelist Simon Terry, top scientist Professor Andy McIntosh, and the senior speaker with AIG UK, Paul Taylor. So do come along, find out about the conference, and let's share our ideas together. You're listening to Answers UK Radio, Episode 10, with me, Paul Taylor, interviewing Ken Ham, the founder of Answers in Genesis. Just before the break, Ken and I were talking about the book Already Gone, written by Ken Ham and Britt Beamer, and we'd been discussing why it is that it appears from the research that the problem of young people leaving the church is actually greater among young people who went to Sunday school as children than among those who did not. Let's hear some more from Ken Ham.
There's also another statistic there. They were more likely to have heard a pastor or a Sunday school or children's teacher tell them they can believe in millions of years or believe in evolution. And you see, I think that's one of the factors. One of the factors is they come to church and they're basically being told, you can believe what you're taught in school, in the state schools, but trust in Jesus anyway. We're telling you about the gospel and Christian morality, but the message of Jesus comes from the same book, the Bible. And if that book is not authoritative and you can't trust it in its history, how can you trust its message of spiritual things? And what's happening is they don't hear what is being said, and it's just some pie-in-the-sky religion and so on. It's not real to them. It's not relevant to them, and they walk away. I think another issue, too, is how do we identify people to teach our children in Sunday schools and children's programs? A lot of times, I know here in America that's true. I know it was true in Australia when I was living there. It's basically, we're desperate, we need volunteers. Will somebody please volunteer to teach these children, and that's their qualification. You're a volunteer. We haven't trained them to teach. They don't know how to answer the skeptical right. questions of the age, and we wonder why the kids have problems. And the third issue is that the curricula teaches Bible stories. Oh, we have all these wonderful Bible stories, and the word story in our modern world really is taken to mean fairy tale, which is one of the definitions of story, but that's more and more what it's like. We've got to stop using the term Bible story, and we need to talk about the Bible's account of history, this historical record. We've got to get away from using the word story, and our curricula is not apologetic in orientation, and what I mean by that doesn't teach them to defend the Christian faith, doesn't answer the skeptical questions of the age. We're not preparing them for what they're going to be taught at school. We're not giving them the foundation of the authority of God's word and teaching them how to answer those questions. How do you know the Bible's true, and where did it come from, and how could Noah fit the animals on the ark, and so on. We're not answering those questions, and so for them, the Bible's not real. It's just stories. It's just fairy tale. Interesting stories, nice stories, but eventually they walk away from the church.
Can I just rewind slightly on that, Ken? Because, I mean, this is a shocking statistic, a shocking finding. This is probably one of the most disturbing things in the book, that the cohort of people who had been through Sunday school were more likely to have rejected things, more likely to be anti-church, as you said, more likely to believe that abortion is acceptable, and so on, and which is really shocking. And would you perhaps agree with me that in an ideal church setup, if you or I were able to sort of set it up, then an ideal church setup, the people in a church who are most needed, in a sense, to answer questions from an apologetics point of view, who probably need to be trained most readily in apologetic principles, are probably those Sunday school teachers, because that's the place where young people are going to have the opportunity to ask, well, what about, you know, my teacher at school said, the world's millions of years. What about that?
Well, you know, Paul, the scripture says, be not many masters or teachers, for you will bear the stricter judgment, stricter condemnation. It's a reminder of the incredible influence teachers have on children. You know, when we're training children, the Bible says we're to be the salt of the earth, but you actually can't be the salt until you have salt, because the scripture also says, have salt in yourselves. You've got to have salt. And if the salt's contaminated, it's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out. And, you know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give answers. And this is where we have failed as a church, in my opinion, to train teachers to be able to give those answers, to be able to influence these kids in the right way, teach them how to defend their faith. And they come along to church. And, you know, here in America, and from my experience in the UK, I even think it's worse in the UK, but here in America, we find that the majority of churches, even conservative churches, the majority of churches will not take a stand on Genesis, the 6 days. There'll be people who believe in the gap theory or the day-age theory or whatever, or they say it's not important or it doesn't matter. Or most of our Christian college professors, Bible professors, seminary professors, most of them will compromise Genesis with millions of years and maybe evolution and Big Bang and so on. And so the problem is, the church as a whole, the majority of the church has compromised the word of God, no different to what the Israelites did when they adopted the pagan religion of the age into their culture and contaminated what they were to be teaching the next generation. And look at what happened to them. For instance, you know, when Joshua died and the elders that were with him died, the next generation served Baal. We've got same problem. We're not transmitting what needs to be transmitted to the next generation because we're not dealing with where the attacks are at. And one of the things that I find too is the older generation do not understand. By and large, they do not understand. They look around and they say, how come our church is much smaller than it used to be, and we're just a small group of older people now at the church, and where are all the young people? Oh well, keep teaching the way we've always taught. They don't understand the change in the culture. There's been an attack on the word of God in our day and age. I mean, that attack started in Genesis 3, but in our day and age, it's been particularly on Genesis 1 to 11. And what's happened is they haven't dealt with it. They haven't told their kids how to answer those questions. They didn't deal with it in the home. The church didn't deal with it. And we wonder why they're walking away from the church. We have a lot to answer for before the Lord.
Yes. I mean, I've seen in many churches that Sunday schools happen quite often to take children out before the sermon starts. And of course, the Sunday school teachers are going out with the children. those same Sunday school teachers then are out every Sunday when the sermon is happening. They're frequently not there in the evening. And I'm beginning to wonder then, when do those Sunday school teachers actually get any teaching themselves? Are they becoming the least able people often to have to be able to talk about the Bible and to be able to present it to children?
Yes, we need to be training the teachers, and we need to introduce curricula that is apologetic in orientation. We need to teach the whole counsel of God, but we need to be teaching it in a different way that we've taught it in the past. And everything we teach as Christians, or our doctrines, morals, everything, is anchored in the history from Genesis to Revelation that we at Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum here in the United States call the seven C's of history. Creation, yes. Corruption, catastrophe, confusion, that's Genesis 1 to 11, Christ, cross, consummation, and everything anchors to that. But we're not teaching it that way in our churches. Even to our adults, we're not teaching it that way. Right. And not only should we be teaching it anchored to that history, we need to be saying, what in the secular world right now is attacking that history at that particular point, and then we need to be dealing with that.
You're looking at ideas of how we can respond to this, and it's to do with the material that's presented in Sunday schools. It's to do with the material that's presented in churches, as you've outlined. But give us something of the big picture now of the way you want to see things going, the way that you think we need to be altering things in order to have some possibility of bringing these worrying statistics down.
Well, Paul, let's be honest. If you were to go to the average Sunday school teacher or the average Bible teacher in church or pastor and say, when people come to church, kids come to church, do they think they're going to learn about geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology, and so on? Yeah. You know what the answer is going to be. What's the answer going to be?
It's going to be no. Because they learn.
No, that's right. And then if we said to them, where do you go to learn about geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology? The answer will be you go to
school.
You go to school where the majority of these kids from the churches are taught a history in geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology. And by the way, I need to make a point here. The Bible is not a science textbook in the sense of teaching us to build motor cars and space shuttles. That's observational science, which we all agree on, whether you're a creationist or an evolutionist. That's why I met a creationist and evolutionist, both working on the Hubble telescope at NASA, and they all agreed on what they were doing. But when it came to talking about the origin of the universe, they disagreed.
Yes.
And you see, the Bible is a book of history. And what's happening is they're being taught a history in geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology that contradicts the Bible's history. And what really happened, and it really started in England. When you go back to the 1700s, 1800s, when deists and materialists popularized the idea of millions of years and the church adopted that into the Bible and reinterpreted the days of creation. And then along came Darwin. They reinterpreted the creation account. As you know, there's a lot of theistic evolutionists in the church in England. And then along came Fred Hoyle coining the term Big Bang, and they said, we can believe that. What they actually did was unlock a door to say you don't have to take God's word as written. You can reinterpret it on the basis of man's fallible interpretation in regard to the past. And that unlocked a door that undermined biblical authority. And we've seen that open more and more. The church basically gave up the history in Genesis to the world and said, you teach that, we'll concentrate on teaching about Jesus and the gospel and doctrines. And see, that's why churches today, if you were to say, why can't you walk in a lobby or a foyer in a church and see a dinosaur bone and maybe see a picture of the American Indians, Australian Aborigines or something, and maybe see some of the posters from the Creation Museum and some fossils and things like that, people would say, but you don't do that in church. And I say, wait a minute, where does the Bible say that? And why do you not do it? It's because the church gave it up. The Bible is no longer real to generations today. It's just a pie-in-the-sky religion. What's real is what they're taught at school because they deal with real stuff. It's about time we started dealing with real stuff in our churches to help people understand the Bible's a real book of history that connects to every aspect of reality.
Amen. So that's the manifesto that we're laying out there. And we've really tried to make sure that people have no excuse. We've got what we think are very good Sunday school resources that people can get hold of. You mentioned the Seven C's of History. Of course, there's a Sunday school curriculum with that title, and there are other Sunday school curricula that that we produce. So there's plenty of material there. There's plenty of training. You know, people can come along to your church and talk to your Sunday school teachers and show how these materials can be used. We can do that. So there's no excuse. We want people to be anchored to Scripture, and I really do encourage people to get hold of this book, to read it, and to start to implement the things that are in there. So thank you so much, Ken, for being with us and presenting this very, very important message.
Hey, thanks, Paul.
Well, that's all we have time for with episode 10 of Answers UK Radio. And you've been listening to me, Paul Taylor, the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. I've been talking to Ken Ham, the founder of Answers in Genesis, and the president and CEO of Answers in Genesis United States and the Creation Museum. We've been talking about Ken Ham's new book, Already Gone, Why Your Kids Will Quit Church and What You Can Do to Stop It. This book is published by Masterbooks and is available from Answers in Genesis UK at the normal retail price of £8. It's on introductory offer currently at £7, and if you buy as a result of listening to this podcast, you can get it for an extra 50p off at £6.50. Call us on 0116 270 8400 and mention that you've heard about the offer on episode 10 of Answers UK Radio, or go online at answersingenesis.org. Make sure you're on the United Kingdom page, and then go to the web store. When you get to the final checkout, put a note in the comment box. And although it looks as if you'll be charged £7, in fact, you'll only get charged £6.50, plus whatever then postage and packing is required. So make sure that you comment that you've heard about the offer on episode 10 of Answers UK Radio. Well, make sure that your podcasting software or iTunes is up to date so that you get the next episode of this important podcast. Thank you for listening. We understand from our statistics that we're currently running at approximately 6,000 listeners per episode. So thank you for making this one of the most successful Christian podcasts in the UK. Thank you. Good night. God bless you.